بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا بالغاثم المصطفى محمد. الطيبين الطاهرين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى لقاء يوم الدين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. May Allah inshallah accepts our prayer, amal and dua inshallah in this holy month. Recite louder salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
We were talking about the doubts and shakiyat in salat, and we mentioned some of the doubts that we have, we should ignore them in salat, and they are not okay shaks, so we don't have to pay attention to them. One of them was the shak or the doubt at the time that I have a doubt in the action of the salat, that the time of that doubt, that action is past. So if the time of that thing is past, I don't have to pay attention to that doubt or shak. For instance, I'm in ruku, I have the doubt, did I say my hamd and surah or not? Because I already passed that time. I mean, the next amal, I don't pay attention to that. Inshallah, I said that. Or I'm in sajda about ruku. The second part is the time that after salat, if I did salam after the salam of the salat, so my salat is over. So now I have a doubt about how many rak'ah did I say? Because the salat is over, I will ignore that shak. And this is shak, right? This is doubt. I'm not sure about it. So if not sure, did I say it or not? So because the time is past, it's fine. The third time, the place is that when the time of the salat is past. For instance, the time of the salat, Zuhr and Asr is past and it's Maghrib, so I have doubt about Salat Zuhr and Asr. Did I say my Salat Zuhr? Because the time is past, I ignore that shak. But if it's still time, it's still the time, it's imagine this is 6 p.m. All of a sudden I'm like, did I say my Salat Zuhr or not? Did I say my Salat Asr or not? Because I still have time, although this is doubt, I should do it again. I should say my salat again as the, you know, the niyat of whatever I have to do. I will do it again. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Maybe older is the Irimanji. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Last night we were talking about, as you remember, the topic of ikhlas, sincerity in ibadat, in worshipping and amal that we have. We said that ikhlas and sincerity is not only for the beauty of ibadat that we have. Ikhlas, not necessarily to add to the ibadah, to make it more beautiful, more valuable. We said that ikhlas and sincerity is one of the necessity and requirements for our ibadat. So, if I want to have my amal, my salat, my fasting, my worshiping, if I want it to be accepted by Allah, if I don't make it for the sake of Allah, if I don't have ikhlas in that amal is not going to be accepted. No matter how beautiful I would do that amal, if there is no ikhlas, Allah would not accept it. Ikhlas, I want you, those that write it down, this statement is beautiful. Ikhlas is the scale and the measurement of the acceptance and the value of salat and the value of a'mal. The scale for the value and acceptance as well. So, apparently, the salat that I say and the Salah that Amir al-Mu'mineen said, they all had the same components, right? My Salat had Niyyah, his Salat has it. My Salat has Ruku, his Salat has Ruku. My Salat has Sajda, his Salat is Sajda, right? So what is the difference between the Salat of me and the Salat of Amir al-Mu'mineen? What is the difference? When you look, the appearance of the Salat is the same. It all has Ruku, Sajda, although even in the Zahir, the Salat is different as well because they do it better. However, the Niyyat and the Ikhlas of the Salat that is behind that Amal, it's the main difference between my Amal and Amal of the Awliya of Allah. That is the Niyyat of the Amal. That's the way that I do that Amal behind doing it. The Niyyat that I have, the sincerity that I put in Amal, is the reason that help Amir al-Mu'mineen, then when he is saying his Salat, the doctor said, you, that's the best time to pull out the arrow out of his foot. Apparently it's the same Salat. So what is there? We do all, all Ahlul Bayt, they did the same ruku, right? Then what is there that made their ibadat outstanding ibadat? The level of ikhlas that they put into that amal. I worship Allah and I want to purify my intention. Ya Allah, I want to worship you because I want to go to heaven. If you remember last night, but Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he talked, when he said that, بَلْ وَجَدْتُكَ أَحْلًا لِلْعْبَادَةِ, Ya Allah, I'm not worshipping because of hell or heaven. I'm worshipping because I found you. You deserve to be worshipped. That is the difference between my amal and the amal of Ahlul Bayt. I might do my amal because I'm expecting something from Allah, but they do amal because they owe Allah. Because they owe Allah. And you have maybe this question, how come Ahlul Bayt, they have never had any mistakes or any sins in their lives, right? Then why, when it comes to Allah, towards Allah, they're so panic in front of Allah. You see that Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he is doing ibadah, in the gardens that he made, he passed out. If he doesn't have any sins, if I don't have any sins, what is the problem? Is this the problem? Well, what is there that Ahlul Bayt, they were crying and they were asking Allah to forgive them? Specifically for younger friends, if they pay attention, I want to give this example. Imagine very important person comes to your house. Very important person. Let's give the examples of dunya. No, let's give example, better example, not this dunya. Let's get away. Ramadan is the time to get away from dunya. Imagine that inshallah, they tell you that tomorrow night, Imam of As, for iftar, he's going to be in your house. Let's be optimistic. Yes, why not? Sometimes you have to go visit those people that are not good as well, right? Like me. So imagine tomorrow night he's going to come to your house. What would you do to make that iftar the outstanding iftar for Imam of Us? Whatever you have, you bring it for him, right? Whatever you can, whatever it's in your ability to do, you do to hospitalize Imam in the best way, right? The best way that you can. And you bring everything that you can. At the end of the day, you still feel guilty. Why? I didn't do as much as I was supposed to do. Your wife, your husband, your mother says, see, did you see that? We couldn't be a good, you know, host. You did everything that you could. You brought everything that you could. But you still have, you know, that guilty feeling over there. What is it? Because not you didn't do your job. Because that person is a very great person. The value of that person is so high. That's why you still. Ahlul Bayt, they did everything that they could. Because of the Azamat and the greatness of Allah, they see what they're doing is not enough in front of Allah. Because they see themselves so, you know, lower than Allah. فَادْعُوا اللَّهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ وَلَوْ كَرِحَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Worship Allah, making your submission exclusively for Him. If you remember last night, I mentioned that inshallah, this topic that we will go in this second part of Ramadan, it is a little bit more advanced and more complicated sometimes. Maybe I want you guys inshallah to follow it. The best example that I can give you about the ikhlas and sincerity is the first sermon of Nahjul Balagha from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. If you open the first khutbah or sermon of Nahjul Balagha, let's see in the first khutbah of Nahjul Balagha how Amir al-Mu'mineen is praising Allah and introducing ikhlas. This is one of the most amazing sermons in the world that is still the scholars, Muslim and non-Muslims, still they cannot interpret this khutbah the way that it's supposed to be. There was an organization in one of those not good countries. So they had an organization against Shia. Few stories how we can do what we should do to be against Shia, destroyed Shia. So they were analyzing the beliefs, your beliefs, Shia beliefs. They said definitely we have to go, you know, because they got their beliefs from Quran. We have to go against Quran. We have to first study Quran to figure out the mistakes of Quran. So disprove Quran for them. One of those guys were sitting there. He said, you know what? Shia believe there is a book. They call it Nahjul Balagha. So they call it, it's not as important as Quran. The value is not the same as Quran. But after Quran, this is a good book. So before we get to Quran, let's take a look at Nahjul Balagha to see what this guy, because this is their belief. Let's see what they say. Okay, let's do it. They open Nahjul Balagha. The first sermon, they stuck into that sermon. They said, forget about Quran. We can pass this, the first line of this khutbah, they couldn't go further. We don't understand what they say. You want to go to Quran? You can't understand. Nahjul Balagha. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Awwal ad-din ma'rifatuh. The foremost in religion is the acknowledgement of Him, Allah. Attention, these are the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen. وَكَمَالُ مَعْرِفَتِهِ التَّسْتِيقُ بِهِ. The perfection of acknowledging Him is to testify Him. If I want to acknowledge Allah, I have to testify that He's existing, right? وَكَمَالُ التَّسْتِيقِ بِهِ تَوْحِيدُهُ. Look, these are in order that it comes. مَعْرِفَةً تَسْتِيقُ, testifying, and it comes to Tawheed. We all know Tawheed. The perfection of testifying Him is to believe in His oneness, Tawheed. There is only one God. Following, وَكَمَالُ تَوْحِيدُهُ الْإِخْلَاصُ لَهُ. And the perfection of the Tawheed, if I want to reach perfect Tawheed, is al-ikhlasu, that I sincerely do my a'mal for the sake of Allah. Did you see where did we come all the way from ma'rifah? We came to tasdeeq, we came to tawheed, and then jinn after tawheed is ikhlas. That's why they said ikhlas and sincerity is one of the highest level of mysticism and irfan towards Allah. The topic that we have is getting closer to Allah, ascension, mi'raj. We have to touch this topic, ikhlas. Meaning that Ibrahim, the father of Tawheed, after the Tawheed, he was mukhlas. He had ikhlas that he became Ibrahim. All the prophets, they had this. How important is this topic, ikhlas? That if you don't have it, your a'mal is not going to be accepted. And if you have it to the highest level of ikhlas, you will be among the anbiya, the prophets. Wow. Let me share this amazing hadith with you. If you know that your parents or your friends have a secret, how would you like to understand that secret? You want to know, right? it's sweet, you know, to figure out. It's not good, but, you know, sneak out and figure out who others are. It's not good, but it's a secret. What if I tell you that Allah has some secrets that I know? Sir, secret. What that means? That means it's hidden, right? It's not everywhere so everybody could see it. It's secret. What if I tell you there are some secrets that I want to share with you that is the asrar of Allah? Say it. Sir means no one knows. Then how do you know about this sir, you said? Some of these secrets Allah shared with some of his servants. It's a secret, right? No one else knows. But only those friends of Allah that they were eligible, they knew that. Allah told Ahlul Bayt about some of his secrets. Imagine. Secret that Allah has to some people. This is Hadith Qudsi. It's been narrated as Hadith Qudsi. That means even the words are from Allah. Allah is narrating. Allah is saying this. Al-Ikhlas sirrun min asrari. Ikhlas is one of the secrets from my secrets. Allah is saying, Istawda'u qalbu man ahbabtuhu min ibadi. I will give this secret to those that only I love them. This is the secret that I bestow to those people that I like, I love them. One of those secrets that I only give it to those people that I love them. So ikhlas is one of the secrets that Allah has and only give it to those people that he loves. So how can I reach this ikhlas based on this hadith? First of all, if I want to have ikhlas, I have to be the way that Allah loves me, right? Allah says, I only give ikhlas to those people that I love them. So if I want to have ikhlas and sincerity in my amal, I have to love Allah. So in order to love Allah, I have to follow his orders, right? And in order to follow his orders, I have to get away from sins. Look how logically you can put them together. Allah says, I give ikhlas to those that I love. If I want to have ikhlas, which is difficult, to get one of the secrets of Allah, I have to be the way that Allah loves me. In order to be like that, I have to follow him and to get away from the sins. That's what Rasulullah has been narrated from him. Tamamul ikhlas ijtinabul maharim. Ikhlas, completely, that means you get away from maharim, from the sins that Allah doesn't like it. So this is the process to reach ikhlas. To do amal, to get closer to Allah, get away from sins, this is the first step that I have to do. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Very quickly, because we don't have enough time, just some of the benefit of this ikhlas. So if I have ikhlas, what is it going to do or to add practically in my life? How is it going to help me? The first benefit of ikhlas is that you get closer to Allah, as you just recited, right? You just noticed it, you just heard it. فَمَنْ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. He hopes, who hopes to meet this Lord must do righteous deed and must not associate anyone in the worship of his Lord, only for the sake of Allah. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّي أَحَدًا. That means you are doing ibadah, but don't do shirk in your ibadah. If you are worshipping, some people are worshipping, but they do shirk in ibadah. It says don't do that. By associating someone else beside Allah. The second benefit, which is very important for us, ikhlas would help us to get away from shaitan. How many times you heard about this ayah that shaitan says, qala, when Allah kicked him out of heaven, it says qala fabi'izzatika la'uqwiyannahum ajmain. Ya Allah, I swear to you, I will deceive all of them. Right? And then he says illa 'ibadakal mukhlasin. Wow. Shaitan gave up on mukhlasin, those who are mukhlas, those who have ikhlas, he gave up on these people before he even tried it. What kind of power these people have, that shaitan, that he has a lot of power to deceive people, to deviate people, which he did. Some people, they were worshipping Allah for 70 years, and shaitan deceived them and took them out of the way. So this shaitan that has a lot of satanic power, he doesn't have enough power to stand and deviate those people that are mukhlas. He already told Allah. It's like, you know what, you're in this sport, you have a match. You said, I can defeat everyone, but if that team comes, I'm not going to come. I know they will defeat me. I'm not going to even be there. Shaitan says, Ya Allah, I will deceive everyone except these people. When they come, I can't do anything. That means the power of shaitan is not enough and strong enough to stand in front of the ikhlas of the people. Remember last time we said we can fix everything with ikhlas? One day, he had a mission for his people, for his employees. And he said that, you see that abid that is worshipping Allah a lot, I want you guys to go deceive him and take him out of ibadah, so I don't want him to worship. All his employees, that they went there, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything. They came and said, we can't. He's very, very, you know, dedicated to his ibadat. We can't do anything. Shaitan says, I'll go myself. You don't know what to do. Some people, he sent his employees, the third level, 10th level. Some people, he has to go himself. He went there and he saw that this abid is doing ibadat very, very greatly. Yes, very much. You know what? There's no way that you can, you know, interfere into the ibadat of this abid. He told his employees, look what I want to do. He went to that abid in the figure of a human being. He went to that abid and he told him, you know, in the place that you do ibadah, can I come with you and worship Allah in the place that you worship Allah? Of course, worship Allah. Let's come together. They were together for a few days. This abid that was worshipping Allah so much, he saw that this guy, he didn't know this is shaitan, he said this guy is worshipping Allah so nicely. He's crying so much when he's praying. Ya Allah, I thought I'm worshipping God. Who is he? He's worshipping so nicely. So he asked him, brother, excuse me, what? Sorry for interrupting you. I have been worshipping Allah for a long time. I can't worship the way that you are worshipping Allah. What did you do that you got to this position that you can worship Allah like this nicely? Shaitan told him, forget about it. Forget about it. You're good. You're fine. He was more curious. No. You have to tell me. You have to share your story with me. You have to tell me. I told you. You're fine. Please. Don't bother yourself, go. No, I don't let you go until you tell me how I can worship Allah the way that you worship. Look at the power of shaitan. He said, you really want to know? Yes. Yes, the story is that I committed a very bad sin one day. Horrible sin against Allah. And after that, because I noticed that was wrong, I repented to Allah. And since then, I'm so dedicated into my ibadah and worshiping Allah like this. This is the story. This is the way that I got to this position. If you want to worship Allah the way that I worship, you have to do something horrible, a big sin, so you can worship Allah like me. Huh. He didn't come to him to say, you know what? You see those people over there, they're doing something haram, you go there and do it. He went to that abid and he tried to put him down with his ibadat. If there's no ikhlas. And then after that, that guy wanted to go there and do it and Allah help him, that's the end of the story. You think about the rest of the story. Some people, they ask me, why you don't finish the rest of the stories that you recite? It says, I want to leave it to you, whatever you want to finish it. You know some movies? It said, on your imagination. No, Allah helped that abid so because of the ibadah, so he didn't fall into haram. Anyways, this big shaitan with this type of satanic power, this guy says, I cannot deceive mukhlaseen, those people that they have ikhlas. Forget about them. I can't do anything against them. The third benefit of ikhlas is that Allah, you will have the special attention and favors from Allah. مَنْ أَسْعَدَ إِلَى اللَّهِ خَالِصَ عِبَادَتِهِ أَحْبَتَ اللَّهِ إِلَيْهِ أَفْضَلَ مَصْلَحَتِهِ. Whoever brings up, sent up the pure, pure ibadah that he or she has, Allah would send him the best of the maslahat that is good for his life, the best of the recommendations and khair for his life. That's specifically for him. The fourth benefit, that this is important as well. At those moments of your life that are the dangerous moments in your life, ikhlas would come and save you. Some moments in life are dangerous moments. In those moments, ikhlas come and help you to be safe. Let me give you an example of Surah Yusuf, Hazrat Yusuf sallallahu alayhi. When Yusuf, Zulaikha invited him to that haram, and Allah helped Yusuf not to fall into that haram, Quran says, كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Thus, we did to turn evil away from him, surely Yusuf was one of our mukhlas servants. You know, in the moment that Yusuf was trapped in by Zulaikha, that was a dangerous moment, right? Quran says, if we didn't help Yusuf, they would fall into haram. The reason that they didn't, because we helped them. We helped Yusuf. So why Allah helped these people? Some people says, why Allah made these people prophet? Why I am not the prophet? Huh? Why Allah chose certain people? Predestination and decrees. Why Allah chose these people? Why I'm not a prophet? You have the capability to be prophet. Just show it. Prove it. Before Allah helped Yusuf, Quran says, if I didn't help him, he would fall into that haram. Before he helped him, it's saying the reason that we help him because he was min ibadina al-mukhlasin, because he dedicated exclusively his ibadat for us. He showed it in amal that he is doing it for us. That's why we are helping him. Some people ask, say, why Allah is choosing some people? No, there is a reason behind it. If your teacher comes to your class and says, you know what, from tomorrow, this student is going to be the person that would teach you after me. Or this person would be, you know, whoever, if I don't come to the class, this person would be, you know, your teacher. That some students would say, why did you choose him? Why not me? If you ask the teacher, he would tell you what is the reason. Because I know how he's studying. I have a reason behind choosing these people. Because they already proved it to me that this is the reason that these people can be prophets or among Ahlul Bayt. It's from Ma'asum that says, don't think that we are the relatives of Allah. That's why Allah chose us to be Imam. No, we showed it in action, righteous deed that we have. That's why we became Imam. And the last benefit that I have for you is that Allah would give you the hikmat and wisdom. Look at this beautiful hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's one of the most precious hadith and amazing hadith that we have. مَا أَخْلَصَ عَبْدٌ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَرْبَعِينَ صَبَاحًا إِلَّا جَرَتْ يَنَابِيُ الْحِكْمَ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ عَلَى لِسَانِهِ. If you 40 days, those people that they come ask me, is there any zikr that we do, we get closer to Allah? Is there any special amal that we do and we get closer to Allah? Look at this. 40 days you keep your amal and yourself mukhlas with ikhlas for the sake of Allah, 40 days. Allah would bring the spring of wisdom, the springs of wisdom from your heart to your mouth, to your tongue. The springs of hikmah. You see, you sometimes think with some people, as soon as they talk, the wisdom comes out. As soon as they talk, you say, wow, the level of the speech is different because of this. Sheikh Abbas al-Qumi, that's the last part. Sheikh Abbas al-Qumi, you know all this mafatih that we have? It's from him. Look at the sunnah that he made. He opened a bank account, spiritual bank account for himself. Okay? Whoever used the book, mafatih, Allah sent a check to his account. You see how some people are smart? He didn't originate these du'as, you know that. He collected the du'as from other books and he tried to collect the most important authentic du'as. He just put them together. Is there any Shia house that there's no mafatih? I don't think so. Maybe some people, whatever. But whoever opens mafatih, recite one du'a from mafatih, this is the check to the account of Sheikh Abbas. See how smart he was. Why he had this tawfiq and opportunity that Allah let him do that, not other people, not Ayatollah so and so. Why Sheikh Abbas al-Qumi? I want to tell you why. There was a guy in the Haram Hazrat Ma'asuma sallallahu alayhi in Qom called Abdul Razzaq. This guy, he was narrating ahkam. Mas'ala, ahkam. And then after ahkam, he had a book. He was opening a book, Manazil al-Akhirah, written by Sheikh Abbas al-Qumi. And he was talking to people based on this book. The father of Sheikh Abbas, he was going to the speech of that guy, Abdul Razzaq. So one day, the father of Sheikh Abbas came to the house of Sheikh Abbas and he said, Sheikh Abbas, what? I wish you were like this guy, Abdul Razzaq. I wish you could become Abdul Razzaq. Why, father? What happened? Because he says some mas'ala, some ahkam, regulations for people, and then he has a book that he narrates, and he used that book, and his speech speak very, very nicely from that book. I wish you were like Abdul Razzaq. You could use that book. He didn't know that's the book of his son. I wish you were like Abdul Razzaq, you could use that book, so talk to us. Sheikh Abbas al-Qumi told his son, as soon as he said that, I was going to say, I wrote that book, father. But he said, as soon as I wanted to say that, I said, stop. Why do you want to say it? Did you write it down for your father or for Allah? Why do you want to say it? He didn't say it. He says, yes, you're right. The author of that book that his father didn't know said, I wish you were like him. Who is he? He's the author of that book. Why should I tell my father? Oh, by the way, you made a mistake. I am the one who write it down. So you see why they become Sheikh Abbas al-Qumi, why they have the tawfiq to write down this book, why Allah chose different people, because they show it to Allah that they are special. They are special. So if it was another topic, it was romantic book stories, if it was scientific book, mathematics or physics or something. As soon as my father was telling me, you know, I did it, I wrote it down, But ikhlas is in the highest level in these people. That's why they don't have any specific horrible problems in their life to, you know, to get depressed. How many of the ulama you saw that they are depressed? Show me. Did they go to the doctor? They get anti-depression medicine. Have you ever asked yourself why? They live in mansion, or they drive Ferraris, or what? What is the reason that they don't? What is the reason that they, in the middle of the crisis, they're so calm, they're so quiet, they're so nice? What is the reason? If you compare them with other people, there's only one thing: the level of iman and the level of ikhlas. The majority of them, they don't have any, you know, family problem or, you know, any marital problem. The majority of them, not all of them, some of them yes, but the highest ulama that we have, it's been narrated from the daughter of Allama Tawatawai, the author of Tafsir al-Mizan. He said, one night I saw my mother was sick. She had fever. My dad, Allama Tabatabai. Imagine how busy is Allama. She said, my dad was next to my mom all the night. He didn't sleep all the night. He was taking care of my mom and he was nursing and everything, make sure that everything is fine with my mom. Allama Tabatabai was helping his wife, didn't sleep at night to help his wife. Why I can't, I don't have the tawfiq? Because if I become the mayor of the city, I don't talk to my, you know, close people, so you have to, you know, make an appointment to talk to me. My wife calls you, do you have an appointment? Some people are like this. Someone became the CEO of the company. Before he became the CEO of the company, his father was the janitor of that company. So he changed his last name because he didn't know people know that his father is the janitor. See the levels? That is the difference. That is the reason that Allah chooses some people. With ikhlas, you can fix everything in your life, because you dedicate that amal, you dedicate whatever you do for the sake of Allah. Last night I mentioned, even when I want to do something for myself, for my life, I would do it as ibadah. I want to raise up my kids, I will bring the sabqat Allah, the color of Allah into it. I will do it for the sake of Allah. I'll get thawab inshallah for that. I pay attention to these things. With ikhlas, for the sake of Allah, everything would be in the best way, in the best manner. Without ikhlas, I don't know if to say it or not. I just heard from Hujjat al-Islam Qiraati something very scary. He said, one of the ulama, I think Ayatollah Bahauddini, he said, he talked to him, he says, Qiraati, if you don't have ikhlas in your speeches, if you don't have ikhlas in your speeches, it's like a monkey that is dancing for people. Allahu Akbar. It's the same. There's no value into it. Nothing. Many people, they do ibadah, they worship, they do amal, but they don't know nothing is there for them. Because why? Because the niyat is for someone else. And Allah is not an acceptance. So we ask Allah, inshallah, to help us. And this month is the month to use, to review these facts and to be able, inshallah, to get closer to these facts, inshallah. If God wills, tomorrow, inshallah, we'll try to talk about the topic of
Akhirat and Ma'at that I promised. The topic of death. We have one more night before 19th, right? Am I correct? Because two nights. Tomorrow and the day after. Because Wednesday is going to be 19th, right? Night of 19th. So purposely I chose tomorrow, inshallah, to talk about this. And I already warned some people about this. If you don't want to be here, don't be here. This is, inshallah, a topic that would, with the help of Allah, to give us those facts that we sometimes don't hear them. But inshallah, it would open some doors in front of Allah to have a better vision of our life and afterlife, inshallah. Very quickly, inshallah, my musibah tonight, just to have this sunnah, inshallah, very, very quickly, just to have the zikr and the name of Ahlul Bayt, inshallah. Let's close your eyes together, and inshallah, let's go to Karbala together. I'll give you the secrets that this night I am very insisting on the masalib and the tragedies of Ahlul Bayt, specifically Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We are getting close to night of Qadr. How quickly it comes, and how quickly my a'mal is going to be in front of my beloved Imam, Imam of Asr. Within two nights, I will have the a'mal of the year sitting in front of the Imam of Asr. He is going to open my case, my folder, and he is going to review the a'mal of 1 year that I did. It's good that this few nights that we have before then, we do some good a'mal, inshallah. So when he opens it, he sees some good a'mal, even at the end of the year that I have. That's important. Let's close your eyes. Let's go all together to Karbala. You know, the beauty and the sweetness of each majlis is the zikr of Abu Abdullah. No matter what we talk, no matter how beautiful we talk, the zikr and the name of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the beauty of that majlis that makes that majlis more blessed by Allah, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala ya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum wal'an a'da'ahum ajma'in. It has been narrated when Imam reached around Karbala, they saw that the army of Hur ibn Yazid Riyahi, it approached Imam. When they got there, Imam already was at the front. He gave them some water. Imam had some water, they give the Hur some water for himself, for his soldiers, and also for the animals they had. But after Imam wanted to go back towards Medina, Hur said, I have the order not to let you go back. Let us have some water, Hur. No, they told me to close the front. You cannot even have a little bit of this water. It has been narrated that someone said even the animals can get water from this river. Everyone can get there, the birds and other animals. Why you are depriving Ahlul Bayt from having water? Or did it let Imam and Ahlul Bayt get water. But this is the same person at the day of Ashura, when he noticed what he did and he repented. He came towards the Qiyam and the tent of Imam. Or he's getting close, he's not sure if Imam would accept his repentance or not. As soon as he got there, Imam told him, welcome, that means we accept your tawbah. He asked Imam, now that I came to you, I want to be the first one that go and fight with these enemies. I don't know if you ask me, maybe because Hoyor didn't want to see Zainab Salamullah alayha. Maybe he was not sure if he can see Zainab or not. Imam said, you just came, you're our guest. He said no, so he went. He fought very nicely. Finally, he got to the position that everyone is envious about. Ya laytana kunna ma'akum فنفوز فوزا أزيما. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم والأن أعداءهم أجمعين. اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج والعافية والناس ومد في عمره الشريف وزين الأرض بطول بقائه واجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيعته. يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. Ya Allah, بحق الحسين, for the sake of Imam Hussein, Ya Allah, we ask you, let us have ikhlas to the highest level in our life and ibadat and amal, inshaAllah. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, help us to use the opportunities of this month to reach you and get closer to you, inshaAllah. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, help our youth, our younger friends, to be successful in this dunya and akhirah, inshaAllah. Those who are sick, please cure them at this time. Those who passed away, send the thawab out of this majlis to their soul, inshaAllah. Rahimallah man yaqra al-fatihata ma'a salawat.